Excellent. Good. And Brandy, we're open. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this open session of the Child Court Budget Advisory Committee. We appreciate everybody that's joining us as committee members. We appreciate all those folks that are here from the branch, from services, to assist us as we take on this important task today, and anybody also joining the meeting from the outside as well. We appreciate your interest in our topic. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask Brandy to take roll call.
Judge Conklin.
I'm present.
Ms. Fleming.
Present.
Judge Fannin. Judge Gabe.
Present.
Judge Kelly.
Present.
Judge Larch.
Present. Present.
Oh, sorry.
Judge Larch is present.
Thank you, Judge. And sorry about your technical difficulties. We're glad you're able to join by phone. Judge Ryan. Judge Sachs. Am I going too quickly? Did I hear a response on Judge Ryan?
I was just going to respond that Judge Ryan will not be able to join us today.
Thanks, Rebecca. And back to Judge Sachs. Judge Siebert. Judge Thompson.
Present.
Judge Zahner.
I'm here.
Ms. Bartleson. Mr. Finke.
Here.
Mr. Harrigan. Mr. Kim.
Present.
Mr. Landry.
Present.
Ms. Levere.
Here.
Mr. Riley.
Here.
Mr. Rule.
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi.
Here.
Mr. Taylor. Mr. Yamasaki.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Thank you. And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw.
Yes, good afternoon.
And Ms. Mueller.
Here.
Thank you.
Great. All right. We are missing a few members. And again, that's a product of this unusual time for this meeting, though we clearly have a quorum to conduct business today.
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
This is Judge Siebert. I just got on. I just got off off the bench, so I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Judge Conklin, this is David Calamkarian. I'm the liaison, and I'm participating for that reason.
And we appreciate your liaison presence as well. You're always welcome. Thanks so much. Again, I'm reminding everybody we're now in open session. The meeting is being recorded. Please be careful to mute yourself unless you're talking, and if you are talking, be careful to unmute yourself. I'll do my best to keep track of that, but as we've all learned, it's not my skill set. So if you have a question and I haven't called on you, don't be shy about speaking up or raising your hand. I'll do my best to address everybody. We're going to just take up some very quick procedural matters, and the first is to approve the minutes from the May 5th, 2022 virtual meeting. They are in your materials. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Yamasaki moves approval.
A second?
Gabe seconds.
Moved and seconded by Judge Gabe, initial by Mr. Yamasaki. Any opposition to the approval of the minutes? Pausing, hearing no opposition, the minutes are deemed unanimously approved. Thank you very much. Brandy, at last check, I just wanted to confirm there was no public comment received for today's meeting in any form.
That's correct.
Excellent. Okay. Very good, folks. That gets us to our one and important item of business today, and that is a development of a civil assessment allocation methodology. This comes to us assigned from Judge Rubin and his JBBC specific task to consider this methodology. As I get into this discussion, I'm about to turn it over to Oksana. Ms. Tuck, I just wanted to make a few initial comments. This is not a new topic for us. This is a very important topic, a topic that many of you veterans and now folks that have been with us not quite as long, I think, are all very familiar with. It is a long road that gets us here, but a very important ending to that road today as far as the civil assessments and the need to develop a methodology that clearly establishes that the collection of those civil assessments is separate some use the word decoupled from any court's collection of that, of those civil assessments. So the methodology we will develop today is fully intended to establish that as a court collects civil assessments, that collection of civil assessments has nothing to do with the allocation of the civil assessment or funding related to civil assessments that would come to the court. I do appreciate the time that folks have taken to get us here. Again, this is a policy-driven discussion. Many times, for good reason, we drill down into numbers, not today. Our discussion today is to develop a policy that, regardless of the any distribution of funds through the budget, is not driven by numbers, but is driven by the policies that we're all familiar with, and that's a statewide policy as what is in the best interests of the courts. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Oksana. Oksana, did you get your camera turned on?
Unfortunately, my apologies, I cannot be on camera today.
Not a problem. As much as we enjoy seeing you on camera, the substance that you give us is always the most important. So with that, we're now stepping into your presentation. I do remind folks that as we get here today, there has not been a decision made about the ultimate amount that will come to us. And I'm just reiterating, there doesn't need to be. The amount that comes to us does not dictate our final allocation methodology based upon policy. And with that, Oksana, and so I'm going to direct everybody now to the report in the materials. The report begins at page 7 and will be detailed by Oksana. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. My apologies again. My camera doesn't want to cooperate, even though it worked perfectly this morning. And my incoming video stream doesn't work either, so I cannot see anyone. I only have audio working at this point.
And I'm sure as soon as the meeting's over, your camera will operate again, so not a problem.
So with that, good afternoon. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is assist the committee in discussion and consideration of a recommendation from the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, FMS, on a new policy-driven civil assessment allocation methodology effective July 1st, 2022. First, to provide some background, the Judicial Branch Budget Committee met on June 1st, 2022 to consider allocation recommendations from the TIGVAG that included new funding proposed in the 22-23 governor's budget, including funding for inflationary costs, equity, and new judgeships. The approved recommendation excluded civil assessment revenues, as well as the $50 million civil assessment backfill included in the governor's budget due to the proposed reduction of civil assessment fees from $300 to $150. Today, the TIGVAG is asked to consider a policy-driven civil assessment methodology for consideration by the Budget Committee on June 28, 2022, and then Judicial Council at its July 15, 2022 business meeting. When the FMS met on June 15, developed a new allocation methodology recommendation, members focus on a policy-driven approach and not in a number-driven approach. They utilize principles developed in 2017 during the development of the workload formula methodology, which are still in practice today. These include, one, minimize volatility, maximize stability and predictability to the extent possible. Two, commitment to evaluate all submissions as submitted via the workload formula adjustment request process. Three, time for adjustment and adaptation. Four, responsiveness to local circumstances. Five, transparency and accountability. Six, independent authority of the trial courts, and 7, simplification of reporting while maintaining transparency. The workload formula is the Judicial Council approved methodology used to calculate trial court funding in years of new funding, as well as years of no new funding and years of funding reductions. This established methodology, which is based on measured workload, has been in effect since 2018-19. It is well known to the trial courts, as well as Department of Finance and the legislature. Other areas of consideration included the $48.3 million maintenance of effort obligation, MOE in short, other civil assessment obligations, and retained civil assessment revenues currently included in the workload formula methodology calculations. The options provided to the FMS for consideration included the following. Option 1, allocating funding via the workload formula methodology. This option would allocate civil assessments via the Judicial Council approved methodology, in which cluster 1 courts will receive funding to bring them up to the 100% of need. Up to 50% of remaining funding is provided to courts below the statewide average funding percentage to bring them up to the statewide average as specified. And then the remaining funding is provided to all courts below 100% of funding on a proportional basis, not to exceed 100% of funding as specified. Option 2 is allocating funding proportionally via workload formula need. This option would allocate the amount of civil assessment revenue on a proportional basis according to the workload formula need of each court. Need is the amount of funding a court requires to support its operations based on a workload. For example, if a court's workload formula need represents 5% of total statewide funding need, that court will receive 5% of the civil assessment revenue under this option. And the last option is allocating funding proportionally via workload formula allocation. This option would allocate the amount of civil assessment revenue on a proportional basis according to the workload formula allocation each court would receive. Workload formula allocation is the amount of available funding that the court would receive to fund its operations. For example, if a court's workload formula allocation represents 5% of the total statewide funding allocation, that court will receive 5% of the civil assessment revenue under this option. The proportional approaches were rejected as they would provide funding to all courts. Even those that are funded at a higher level than other courts as calculated in the workload formula. Instead, the workload formula methodology was chosen as it aligns with guiding principles, offers a more straightforward and consistent approach supported by prior application of other funding, focuses on equity, and minimizes volatility. The final recommendation from the FMS for consideration is outlined on page 10 of the materials and includes the following with a July 1st, 2022 effective date. First, maintain the current allocation of the $48.3 million MOE in the workload formula. so that all 58 courts continue to benefit from the finding already in a workload formula model. Second is to fund the remaining civil assessment obligations for those impacted courts from the amount of retained civil assessments after the MOE obligations is met. Third is to allocate the remaining amount of civil assessment revenue after the 48.3 million MOE and other obligations are met via the workload formula and without a security reduction. Since this civil assessment finding is a redistribution and not considered new money by the workload formula definition. Next is to remove retained civil assessment dollars from the workload formula model's other local revenue column and identify each court's new position in the workload formula as it relates to percentage funded. And the last one is to recalculate funding proposed in 22-23 governor's budget, including inflationary equity and new judgeship funding, and then civil assessment redistribution funding in the same sequence as presented to budget committee on June 1st, 2022, with the civil assessment redistribution applied as a final step in the calculation. That concludes our presentation, and we will turn it back to Judge Conklin to guide the discussion, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Oksana, thank you so much for providing the substance of the report as well as some additional substance on the alternatives considered and the rationale that was landed on for the final recommendation at page 10. On that note, I want to thank Rebecca Fleming and the members of FMS who met last week and hashed this out, so to speak. It's you know, we know that these final products always come from the subcommittees who do the lion's share of the work, and FMS did that. But that I don't mean to preclude any discussion here. This has been an issue, as I said, that has been with us for a while, and I think the heritage of that FMS group has come through to present this recommendation to us. So that gets us to the five-part recommendation at page 10, and rather than derail anything, I just want to open it up for questions or conversation or discussions about the recommendation.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. Never lose an opportunity to contribute to some good work that we're seeing this year, if I may.
Of course.
So I have been fortunate enough to have been involved with the budgetary process for many years, and what we've been presented with today as a result of the hard work from the folks at the JCC and the chief, it's really historic, and it really moves us in a very meaningful way towards closing the fiscal gap that we have seen for many, many years in a very, like I say, a very meaningful way. So I am very pleased that this issue is before us for consideration. As you suggested, there was a very robust conversation last week about some of the nuances, about some of the issues that we have. But as it has been presented today, I think it's been synthesized in a very, very organized and understandable way. And I think this is really a testimony to the folks at the JCC as well as the other members of the FMS subcommittee who enabled us to have a very hearty discussion and to get to a very, very good point for our consideration today. So I just wanted to say that.
That's much appreciated, David, and you said it better than I could hope to say it. So thank you very much for those very appropriate comments. Others? Questions, concerns? Motions?
Judge Conklin, I just want to add, I appreciate all the work from FMS and the recommendation. I'm going to agree.
Thanks, Judge Gabe. Did you, you, I think you got cut off. Did you?
I know, that was the only comment I had.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Oksana? And is anybody at this point considering a motion?
I'd be happy to make a motion, Judge Conklin.
Okay.
Which so is... I would move approval of the five recommendations as contained in the materials for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Judge Conklin, this
I heard Sean speaking up. Sean, did you have a question or a second?
I had a second, but I defer to, I think it was Judge, well, I'm not sure who made the second. But I would make the second if you would allow me to.
Of course. You're just as valuable a member as anybody else. It's been moved and seconded that the five recommendations set out at page 10 of 10 of your materials be approved. This, again, to help everybody understand, if approved, then it moves to JBBC on a very tight time schedule. Our ultimate goal is to get this before the council at its July meeting, which is now less than 4 weeks away. Moved and seconded, so that opens us up now to a round of discussion for the motion that is now pending before the committee. Any thoughts, concerns, any questions at all before I call for a vote? And I want to, again, I feel like I might be derailing this, and I don't mean to. If there's anybody watching from the outside thinking, why aren't they discussing this? It's reflective of the work that has gone into this up to this point. This issue is one that we have been facing for years. And thanks to the hard work, as I'm echoing David's comments, but thanks to the hard work of the chief and Martin and John, Zlatko, Fran, Brandy, others, it is now finally coming to a resolution before us that is so appreciated and needed. I'm done preaching. Anything else? I'm pausing longer than I usually do to make sure I haven't missed a hand. Nothing.
Judge
Conklin, John, did you have a comment?
Just briefly, Judge Conklin, this is John Wardlaw. Just for complete transparency here, what I think the motions would do is it would currently de-link the collection of a dollar by a court and that same dollar going directly back to that court. No incentive by a court to collect civil assessments. The money would be coming to the branch into the trial court trust fund and then would be allocated out to the courts via this methodology. Just as a summary, the 48.3 million that currently is collected by courts that is utilized and goes through the workload formula. That workload formula has 50% of those funds going to courts under the statewide average. The remaining 50% goes to all courts. That methodology would continue under this motion. The second component of it are those courts that currently have civil assessment obligations or debt service obligations that utilize civil assessments, that those dollars would be utilized to offset their obligations. Again, not going directly a court that collects the dollar back to that same court, that would not be happening under this model. And then finally, the remaining dollars would be going through, again, the workload formula out to courts. And so, again, a permanent decoupling or discontinuation of a practice of a court collecting a dollar and that same dollar going back to the court. This motion would stop that practice in its entirety, as I understand it.
I think that was very accurately stated, and I think your understanding is at least what I have. The analogy I would use is the bridge between the collection and the allocation is gone, and they're collected and they're allocated versus this methodology, which has nothing to do with individual courts' collections. I thought and John, thanks so much for summarizing it in that way. Judge Siebert, I thought I saw a hand, but then it disappeared. Did you have a comment?
I did. I was just going to say, to your point of you know, whether there's been robust discussion in this setting. I can tell you that there was very robust discussion at the subcommittee level, and you know, it went on for a good long time. And I think that as a result of that, you know, when people voted, it was a product of a lot of discussion. So,
and again, accurately stated and appropriately so. And again, echoing a prior comment that the work comes from the ground up, which is exactly what happened here. David, did you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to add one very important component to this that I had forgotten. This particular subject has been the focus of discussion for many years. And I think the opportunities that have been gained from what has been presented to us in terms of the proposed budget, the approved budget, and obviously before the governor for his consideration, has really generated enormous opportunity for us to make movement on this particular item. I don't know that we would have been able to achieve that if not for the support that we have gained, but it has been meaningful. I think one of the points that I think Oksana mentioned earlier was to reduce volatility. And I think we get that with all of the components that have been presented to the judicial branch as a result of the good work that's been advocated, impressed upon by the chief and Martin and everybody else. So I think the timing makes it ideal for us to take this important step. Thank you.
Agreed, and I would go so far as to add, I think it's a great example of the three entities coming together, governor, the legislature, and the court, to recognize the importance of this and take advantage of a great opportunity. So the thanks inside, looking in and looking out to everybody finding a way to resolve this very important issue. Okay, so there's a motion pending. I wanna make sure everybody's had an opportunity to be heard, and then I will call for a vote as I always do. And that will simply be to ask if there's any member of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee that opposes the pending motion. And I haven't frozen, I've waited, because I want to make sure anybody had an opportunity to oppose. I hear no opposition to the motion that has been seconded. So as the chair, I deem the motion unanimously approved. And I'm going to take the unusual step of pausing and making sure that there's nobody who wanted to object, and I cut them off. Okay, I learned long ago from my father to stop speaking when you reach your goal. So I am, and I have. Thank you all so very much for your time. I'm just going to repeat what I did before. Rebecca, David, everybody else in FMS, thank you. John, your staff, thank you. This now goes to Judge Rubin. So Judge Rubin, who has an equally important task in front of him, good luck. We're here to help. So we will present this at the JBBC meeting that is coming up. Brandy, can you remind us the date of that? Or Fran?
Sorry, JBBC is on June 28th.
Okay, so that's actually 2 weeks from today, 1 week, wow. 1 week from today, Rebecca and I, yes, Rebecca, along with me, will be presenting this to JBBC for their consideration to get to the council meeting that will consider this, assuming it remains on track, is on July 15th. Another example of how TICBAC, just to pat all of you on the back, had a task. I candidly, when we were presented this task about a month ago, I was less than optimistic, and you have proved me once again wrong, and I appreciate that. So with that, thank you all very much for your effort. Stay negative, you can, but be positive. All right. Thanks all, folks. We are adjourned. Take care, everybody.
Thank you very much.
As always, go Dodgers. Thanks.